Peace of Christ be with you. This time of year is bitter and it's sweet. We have about 9 days left of classes together. And this constellation of people, we won't get back again. And the bitterness is that sometimes you got to prepare yourselves to say goodbye. And in my job, it's really hard because and I got the greatest job in the world because I get to walk shoulder to shoulder with you for a season. But then y'all fly away, and that's hard sometimes for us who stay. One of the people that I have gotten to walk shoulder to shoulder with for a season is a young man who is coming to give his first sermon in the history of creation in his life. He is a senior from Holland, Michigan. He is a psychology and youth ministry minor. And he is our own beloved Caleb Nykamp. Would you please welcome Caleb? Look, we got JoJo's typing in from Washington, D.C. right now. Give JoJo a little bit of love. Hold him up. Hold him up. There we go. JoJo's here. We got it. Everything's covered. All right. Caleb, let's pray. From the rising of the sun to its setting, Lord, may your name be hallowed and may it be praised. Speak now through your servant, Caleb. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and everyone said, amen.
Amen.
Your alarm goes off loudly. And you roll over and realize that it's 7:47 in the morning, and you have class in 13 minutes. And as you contemplate rolling back over and going back to bed, or getting up and going to class because you're a good Hope College student, you ask yourself this simple question: why did I register for an 8 a.m. class? Or you get an English paperback and it's just got red ink scribbled all over it. Just screams, needs work. And you ask yourself, why is this professor so hard on me? Thank you, Dr. Cole, for challenging me to improve my writing skills in English 113. That was my paper. Or on a more serious note, someone you know gets diagnosed with cancer and you ask, why, God? Someone you know and love suddenly dies unexpectedly and you ask, why him? Why her? Why this family? Why my family? Why, God? And as we cry out to God and ask why, we as Christians find assurance that many people in the Bible have asked why before we have. I'm thinking of Moses, who asked, who am I that I should lead the Israelites? Essentially asking, why me, God? And it was Job who asked, why did I not perish at birth? And why have you made me your target? And David in Psalm 22 cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus uttered these very same words as he was about to die on the cross. So have you ever felt like Moses or Job or David? I certainly have. And from reading about these people in the Bible, we learn that when we cry out to God, he hears us. Which leads me to our psalm for today. So if you would take out the Bibles in front of you and turn to Psalm 34. It's found on page 441 in the Bibles in your pew. We're going to look at verses 15, 17, and 18 for right now. Hear the word of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears them and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And please keep your Bibles open. We'll be going back to Psalm 34. Friends, this is good news. Because when we cry out to God, he hears our cries and promises to be close to us. Which reminds me of the story of Joseph. In Genesis 39, after Joseph had been betrayed by his brothers and eventually sold to the Egyptians, we read verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3, his Egyptian master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. After Joseph was thrown into prison, verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. And verse 23, the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with Joseph. As you can plainly see, the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord promises to be with each and every one of us when we're going through good times and times of trial. As it says in James 1, verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Did you catch that? He said, whenever, not if, or maybe, or even possibly. No, he said, whenever, meaning we will face trials. But guess what? God promises to be close to us, as we just read in verse 18, to be close to the brokenhearted. That is to be with us, just as the Lord was with Joseph. And that's the first point I hope you'll remember today, that God is with us. Especially when we face these trials, I'd like to propose to all of you a little paradigm shift in the way we think. Instead of so often getting stuck and dwelling on the why God question, I'd like to suggest to all of you and myself that we start to ask the where God question. Where is God in your trials? Where is God in your suffering? Where is God in your pain? Where is God in your grief? Because he's there. I like this quote from Pastor Bill Johnson, the pastor of Bethel Church out in Redding, California, and I follow his blog. He said this in one blog post, "If you have hoped, like David did, that you might see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, well, just open your eyes. You live under a covenant based on God's promise that he will never stop doing good. So people of hope, open your eyes, because you will see the goodness of God all around you, in a smile, in someone that says hello to you, in an uplifting text, in someone that holds the door open for you, or in the beautiful spring flowers outside." Which leads me back to Psalm 34. Look at verse 8 with me. It says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him." Friends, God is good, and we are invited to taste and see the goodness of God. Now, the goodness of God reminds me about going home and being greeted by the smell of mom's homemade chocolate chip cookies. Can you smell them baking now? I can. And many of you may think that your mom or grandma makes the best chocolate chip cookies, but I'm not buying it. I'm telling you that my mom makes the best chocolate chip cookies. And if you're like me, you can't have just one. No, once you have tasted a little slice of heaven, you gotta go back for another one. And while you're at it, two more, and maybe three more until you just eat the whole bag. And it's the same with God. Once you have tasted God's goodness, you can't just turn away. No, you gotta keep coming back for more and more of God's goodness, just like you keep coming back for more and more of mom's homemade chocolate chip cookies. But there's more. If we read on to verses 9 and 10 in Psalm 34, we read this, "Fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Those who fear him lack no good thing. Which reminds me of when I helped lead a mission trip to Haiti last summer. We went out into the communities and talked with translators and the Haitian people, and we asked them what we could pray for them about. Now, I'm thinking to myself, and maybe wrongly, but I thought this. They don't have enough food. They don't have clean water. They don't have a job. They, for goodness sakes, they live under a 10-foot-wide tarp in under a tent community. Clearly, they need prayer and they need some things. But what did they ask us to pray for? And I quote, "Pray that our relationship with God would be strengthened and that our family would grow closer together so we can share the gospel with others." End quote. Wow, here are people that lack everything by worldly standards, but they understand the promise of Psalm 34, verses 8 through 10, that those who fear the Lord lack nothing, and they are seeing God's goodness in their daily lives. So when we are going through tough times, we can remember the prayers of my good Haitian brothers and sisters, and remember that those who fear the Lord lack nothing, and we can see the goodness of God in our lives. As we ask ourselves, where is God, and we begin to taste and see that the Lord is good, we move into an attitude of praise. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me in Psalm 34 again. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad." I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Note that he didn't just say, "Praise the Lord every morning," or "only when life is going just fine," or "only on Sunday morning," or "only when you're brokenhearted." No, he said, "Praise the Lord at all times," which means praising the Lord with everything you got, whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and praising him for his goodness. In fact, the more that I think about it, Jesus wouldn't be Jesus except that God is good. The gospel wouldn't be good news except that God is good. We wouldn't be forgiven except that God is good. The resurrection wouldn't give us hope except that, say it with me, God is good. In fact, we wouldn't be anything except that God is good. So taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's the second point I hope you will remember today, that you will taste and see that the Lord is good. And for those of you who forgot the first point already, it's that God is with us always. God is with us always. And taste and see that the Lord is good. Because I know what I'm talking about. Last August, my dad died suddenly of a heart attack. And God has been with me and my family every step of the way. And we have been seeing the goodness of God in our lives. So I want to challenge you to do something my family has been doing ever since my dad died. We have started a list of God's blessings on our computer where we type up how we have tasted and seen the goodness of God in the midst of pain, grief, and loss. And you know what? That list goes on and on and on, including someone that patched a leak in our roof for us, a group that raked leaves for us all fall, and someone that has called or texted my mom every single night since August. Friends, God is good. So as you leave, I challenge you in two specific ways. First, start asking the "where God" question. because God is with us always. Secondly, start writing down a list of God's blessings where you have tasted and seen the goodness of God in your daily life. Because I've done it myself, and I can say with confidence that I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I want you to say that too. Go in peace.